Studio 360.
I think we should get naked.
What?
That was Owen Wilson in the Ben Stiller movie Zoolander at the beginning of its orgy scene. It's a very funny sex scene, which makes it so unlike so many Hollywood sex scenes, which are comically bad. Because of Valentine's Day, we're taking a look at how movies and TV are evolving when it comes to depicting sex and sexuality, which means some segments on this episode might not be right for all listeners. When I was a kid in the 1960s, 12 or 13, and occasionally got my hands on copies of Playboy, one of my favorite things was a recurring series, The History of Sex in Cinema. It was by a couple of serious film critics. You know, history, cinema, plus sex, years before my first time doing anything serious. To start today's show, we're talking about the cinematic history of first times. As in life, movie depictions of losing one's virginity are often unintentionally awkward.
We all bring so much baggage to our own conception of the way that we have sex and understand sex. It's just tricky to get any kind of nuance right into, like, get across interiority and to completely show the mechanics of it in a way that doesn't cross a line into pornographic.
That's Jeffrey Bloomer. He's a culture editor at Slate. We asked to run us through film depictions of deflowering, how they began in American movies only after Hollywood's total self-censorship regimen ended, the so-called Hays Code in 1968.
Previous to that, you had to basically show consequences, and you couldn't, of course, show any actual sex. So when you think of movies like Rebel Without a Cause, which is sort of like the foundational teen angst movie, you don't really see much actual sex in that movie, but the possibility of these kids being sort of torn up about it and wanting it was enough to lead to calamity.
He called me a dirty tramp. My own father.
Sort of directly after that, a lot of scholars who have written about this have sort of noted it as like a post-virginity era where there wasn't a lot of exploration of the actual first times because it was just got right to the everybody having tons of sex. It was sexual revolution, liberation era. So you have movies like Last Picture Show that has that kind of 1971, I think, and it does take on those themes pretty directly, but it does it in sort of a hyper-shocking, sexualized way. There's sort of that infamous pool scene, if you remember, where she has to disrobe in front of the pool, and then...
The she being Sybil Shepherd.
Yes, excuse me. And there's a later one with Jeff, a scene with Sybil and Jeff Bridges, where it's more explicitly about her wanting him to take her virginity, and he can't.
And what's the matter? Aren't you going to do it?
I don't know what's wrong.
What do you mean? How could anything be wrong? Just go on and do it.
Part of what it's doing is deconstructing the classical era's depiction of sexuality while also depicting it itself.
The floodgates had been open. Just a dozen years later, in the 1980s, losing your virginity movies had become a genre.
There was a scholar who called it the sex quest movie.
Dave's been itching for it. Woody can't stand it.
If I can wait, why can't you wait?
And Spider will do anything for it. There comes a time when nothing seems more important than losing it.
It was like Losing It and Porky's and all just all about these boys and sometimes girls, but mostly boys, just desperately searching away for ways to lose their virginity. It just became more about like an adventure comedy type thing that was broadly universalizing the experience through comedy and making it into kind of a farce. And I think one movie in that era that often gets lumped in with these kind of dumber, broader movies is Fast Times at Ridgemont High from 1982.
Do you think guys find that more attractive?
Oh, Stacy, please, give me a break. You are so much prettier than them.
Jennifer Jason Leigh's character is probably the closest thing the movie has to a protagonist, although there's lots of parallel storylines. And I think what she goes through in that movie is sort of a beginning of a more complicated era in the way that we understand sort of how people lose their virginity and what happens. She loses it very quickly to an older man after lying to her age, and by older I mean like mid-20s.
Am I going to get to first base? Are you really 19?
Yeah, I am. I'm really 19.
This is Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the Jennifer Jason Leigh character losing her virginity to some older guy in a concrete baseball dugout with graffiti and terrible lighting, and it's pretty grim.
Yes, it's not great, but she doesn't leave the experience traumatized. She's more just like confused and feels like she wants to take ownership of her sexuality. And so she quickly has sex again with a boy at school who's kind of a jerk and doesn't really stick around, and she ends up pregnant. And people who remember the movie remember that she has an abortion. But I think that what's nuanced about this movie is that there are consequences, but she's not ruined by them. It doesn't destroy her desire to have sex. And I think at the end of the movie, she's like sexually, she hasn't quite started sleeping with her new boyfriend, but she seems very happy. And she's like emerged from this period of discovery intact.
So there were many, many more attempts in the 80s, from The Last American Virgin to Hard Bodies to Screwballs. And by the end of the decade, right, the explicit teen sex romp comedy had pretty much worn itself out.
So in the 90s, the teen sex movie and losing your virginity kind of wasn't necessarily an enormous genre for a while. And in the 90s, you sort of get a resurgence of raunch movies that are more ironic and more winking and more inclusive of female pleasure. I mean,
American Pie? No, what?
Well, that's sort of what I'm talking about. That came late in the 90s, I think. But that is, I mean, yeah, women in that movie had desires too, as broadly sort of depicted as they were. And I think also there's like teen dramas that were like the movies that were really popular when I was a teenager, like Cruel Intentions.
I'm impressed.
Well, I'm in love.
And there's a Loss of Virginity scene starring Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Phillippe that's set to Counting Crows' Colorblind, and it is sort
of... That sounds like a parody of a 90s movie.
It's sort of... I won't go into it too much. It's not necessarily a great depiction that's worth breaking down too much, but it is an iconic moment, and I think so you see a lot of that. The kids know more about what losing virginity will look like.
By the turn of this century, Jeffrey says there was a shift to more earnest, realistic portrayals, like in the movie Love and Basketball, which a generation into the AIDS crisis also features a depiction of safe first-time sex.
Yes. So Love and Basketball is a movie from 2000 that really comes at the sort of tail end of these new depictions that are more even-handed and more emotionally and perhaps physically realistic. It's about two basketball stars who, from high school to college, really from childhood, are sort of connected. And in the scene where they lose their virginities, the camera just sort of sits next to them on the bed, doesn't really move. There's like light music playing, and they both look terrified. And you see him grab a condom, you see him put him on off screen, of course, and then they just slowly go into it, and they don't necessarily look like they're in ecstasy. You know, it's like it really looks like the way that you would that most of us probably experienced it.
I think, for instance, fairly recently we had on this show Mariel Heller, when she had the film Diary of a Teenage Girl on, which was kind of remarkable in what it did.
What it does is it shows, I think, how morally ambiguous you can become in depictions of losing it. So basically, it's about a 15-year-old girl who falls for her mom's boyfriend. And I think it's in the late 60s, early 70s.
I had sex today. Holy shit.
So in the movie, though, I guess you would say that the boyfriend, I think, is in his 20s. You would peg him as...
Or older, maybe.
Yeah, he might even be in his 30s.
Yeah.
You would peg him as a predator. She's 15.
Yeah.
You would, but the movie doesn't really depict it that way.
I think... This makes me officially an adult, right?
Obviously, there's moral ambiguity there, and you can debate the way that what you should take away from that.
Right.
But I think the way the movie depicts it is very much through her lens. It doesn't sexualize her or her body, even though that's very present in the movie. It's more about her discovery and like what she learns as she goes along.
I get distracted sometimes, overwhelmed by my all-consuming thoughts about sex and men. I always want to be touched.
I think what Mariel Heller did with that movie was very brave and very in keeping with what an actual girl that aged in a situation like that, how she would behave, how she would think, how she would act. And I think that that is kind of what we're starting to see more of now in depictions of adolescence.
And another great film, 2017, Call Me By Your Name, another adult and kid thing.
Yes, it's true. The boy in the movie is 17, and he falls for a 24-year-old. In the actual movie, they're played by Timothée Chalamet and Armie Hammer, so they look even further apart in age. But I think, again, what you see in that movie is sort of a very strong lens from an adolescent perspective, discovering things, And what I really like about that movie in particular is that it really has like a pretty positive gloss on the sexual discovery, but also shows the emotional fallout, which comes in a few scenes that are pretty intense and serious, but they don't destroy anyone.
I don't want you to go.
It's about sort of the more ambiguity of the situations that kids these age find themselves in and lose their virginities in, and also how they navigate them.
When we started talking about having this conversation, I didn't come to it thinking, oh, Hollywood has actually gotten better at this, but it made me think like maybe they have.
I mean, I think that the audiences have just become too sophisticated for the completely moralistic black and white depictions that we used to sort of have, or perhaps the extremely broad 80s comedies as you know, losing your virginity and being open about it as a teenager has
right.
become more mainstream. I think that perhaps that's what we saw. But I think there's still a lot of really bad stuff out there. Like, to be clear, we're focusing on the good stuff.
You can find Jeffrey Bloomer's articles about movies and other cultural stuff at Slate.com. So that's how movies portray the awkwardness of sexual initiation.